Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. I don't always bring current items that are in the news up on Sundays, but this one I feel like I need to at least mention briefly here with, of course, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that I'm sure everybody who've been inundated and seen it throughout the week, it's just horrific to see what happened to this really young man, 31 years old, and just really, really tough. Both our nation and I would say the kingdom lost an incredible voice and person. You know, he's a Jesus person. He was preaching Jesus wherever he was and just had a real love for the Lord. And yeah, he was a political figure as well, but he was unashamedly a Christian and unashamedly a follower of Jesus and invited people into polite conversations wherever he went to talk about anything to anyone. And he, I so appreciated, would share things that were truthful and really, I would say, decades and decades of a lot of times and oftentimes on campuses, a lot of humanism and anti-Christ teaching and really a hatred for our country, all of those things that were inundated in our universities have been for a long time. He was really a bright light that was giving a different perspective to the Lord, to family, to getting married, to the Lord, to Jesus, and so many other things related to our nation. I'm just really grateful to him and thankful for him. I don't agree with him all the time, as I don't agree with anybody, even myself, actually, sometimes. But overall, I think just an incredible voice. And, you know, there are some of those people that it's kind of a rarity, I would say, when someone passes away that they leave a huge void. It just feels like they have touched millions of lives. And he was one of these, he's one of these people that the void is huge. And a voice to our young people, especially the Z generation, that have needed great voices. You know, my wife, I think, said it best in that, you know, when you have kids and grandkids, when you have children, you know, it's like there's this constant barrage of horrible influence out there on your kids, constantly. Entertainment industry to leading figures of all kind of industries, and just like constant barrage of that's just bad influence. And then you got Charlie, who was the opposite, who was influencing kids in a great way toward the Lord, toward morality, toward living for God in a great way. And boy, such a great loss. All of my kids followed him, listened to stuff that he said. I did too. And, you know, just a very, very sad. The way that was done was just horrific. And boy, you know, it just also highlights the great evil that's in so many people. And the people who've been celebrating his death and the way that he was killed is just horrific as well. It just highlights the evil spirit that's in a lot of people that's just horrible. So as I looked at lives that have been touched by him, I know some and heard of others, and I was watching just a little bit from Sage Steele, if you know who she is. She's a journalist, African-American journalist, talking about her faith was so increased, and she gained great boldness in her faith because of Charlie, and lost a voice there. But I believe, you know, that when things like this happen, I was thinking back to even Martin Luther King Jr. when he was assassinated, other figures that were taken out, not because they were evil, not because they were violent, not because they were hateful, but because they were the exact opposite. They were loving, they shared great vision and hope, And it's the enemy taking them out. But I really believe that just like many others that were taken out like this, that there will be, the Lord will turn what the devil intended for evil into great good. And so let's pray that way. Yes, that there will be 10,000 young ones that will rise up with hearts for Jesus and a boldness like we were just praying, a courage to share boldly what is true, what is right, what is loving, and really, yes, stand for faith, stand for the Lord, and stand for women, for, you know, so many things that are right. So such a difficult thing, but Lord, help us, help our nation. May this really be a turning point for our nation in a great way. And you don't have to agree with someone over everything to feel like this is a horrible thing that happened to them. And I think it's really important as the body of Christ that we really, you pray for his family, the great loss for his wife, and his kids will never get to know their dad. Just horrible. But Lord, do great things in Jesus' name. All right. Hey, I do want to continue with what I began last week. If you weren't here, we've just started what I'm hoping to be a three-part series on hearing God's voice, which is one of the beautiful, spectacular, wonderful things that God has given every single one of his children, which you are a child of God. If you've received him into your heart, you've repented of your sins, you welcomed in the Spirit of God, you are a child of God, born again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, will live forever with him, and renewed, a brand new creation, as the Bible says. And for those of us who have done that, that means that the ears of our spirit and our natural ears get opened up to begin communicating with the Lord, not just praying to him, but hearing from him, listening to what he says. And all of our hearts and our lives are intended and built, God built us to hear from God, to hear his voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That every believer can hear the voice of God. It's not just for some special people to hear God's voice. It's for every single person. And one of the great privileges of life, one of the great privileges of being in the kingdom of heaven is hearing God speak. It really is. I know there are many other teachings. I'm going to ask if you've heard this and if you've adopted this to set this aside today, to please open up to consider that it might be true that God still speaks and that he wants to speak to you, not just that he speaks to you personally. It's one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak any more except for through the Bible. That's a lie from the enemy. We're talking about Jesus saying, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That we still hear the voice of Jesus. That he speaks, and as Peter said, the Holy Spirit that was given to us, the great communicator that was put inside of us, forever, was given to us forever, not just for 100 years, not just for 30 years, in the beginning of after Pentecost, but forever. Forever we have the Holy Spirit. God loves his people. God loves his kids. And we've begun a relationship with him. The day that you met him, you began a relationship of hearing his voice all through this life and into eternity. And we cannot fulfill the purposes that God has for each of us personally without hearing his voice. That's how important this is. It's not just a nice thing. I can't fulfill the purpose of God without hearing him, or else I'm just guessing. I'm just, you know, like a blind person. Well, he's opened our eyes spiritually. He's opened our ears spiritually to hear his voice. Last week I shared some about Samuel and how he had not heard or understood the sound of God's voice yet, but he was sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant when God began speaking to him, and he thought it was Eli. Three times he thought it was Eli, until finally he kept going into Eli, waking him up. And Eli said, next time you hear this voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So even though you think it sounds like me, respond to the Lord and see if it's him. And he did that, and of course, all this revelation came to Samuel. And he was sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God. He was next door to the presence of God. Well, here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that you and I are now the temple of God. We are the roving, moving, mobile Ark of the Covenant now. Do you realize that? We are the gold that he's purchased and refined, and he's filled us with his Spirit. And so God now lives inside of us. We're not next door to God. He has moved into us. So he speaks to us in a myriad of ways from the inside of us most of the time. Sometimes it's still audible. I've heard a couple of times the audible voice of God. I'll tell you those stories at some point. But most of the time he speaks on the inside, to our mind, to our memories, to our thoughts, to our feelings. It's connected to every part of who we are when we invite him inside. So he is unlimited in the way he can speak. He's an unlimited God. And it is a blast when we begin paying attention to and expecting and looking for him in the ways that he speaks that maybe we hadn't experienced before or seen before or thought he could do it that way before. I shared last week an experience that I had that got me going this way when I was praying and thought I was daydreaming, and it was actually God speaking to me in my daydreams that messed me up in a good way. Because I was beating myself up for daydreaming while praying. When in reality, it was God speaking very clearly with very clear information. And so it changed my paradigm. And it's like, okay, I have to pay attention to many other ways that God speaks. And if you look through the scriptures, you'll find, and we'll go through some of those probably next week, different ways that God spoke to the prophets. And some were really weird. Some were just weird. He's speaking through all kinds of different things. And even using plays on words. You know, God used plays on words with his prophets. Jeremiah chapter 1 is a play on words. He tells them one thing and he means something completely different. So we have to seek out, God, what are you saying? And have the heart like Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant. I'm listening. I'm listening. What are you wanting to say to me today? What are you wanting to say? Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. The way that Jesus, the way that the Father, the way that the Holy Spirit is, it's so important to understand that, and you may not like it, but it doesn't matter. This is the way that God is. He likes to conceal things, and he reveals it to those who seek and pursue. Jesus said that if you ask, seek, knock, it will be revealed to you. The answers will come. Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah, seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. But he said, you've got to seek me first. God loves to hide things and he's looking for the seekers, not just people who aren't seekers. But as we're looking, he reveals so much. It's the way that God is. And he's always, I'm going to say always, I probably should say often, maybe many times or every day at least, he's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to reveal things to you. Sometimes the revelation that he has is for you. Sometimes the revelation is for others. Sometimes the revelation is to pray. Sometimes it's to heal. But he is communicating because he's the God who's the author of all communication. He speaks every language, the language of the heart, and he lives on the inside. And this is a relationship with God. This isn't, you know, we don't have a relationship with information. We don't have a relationship with a book. We have a relationship with a living God who is wanting to talk and is talking all the time. I'm going to take you to another Old Testament passage as we discover how God began speaking to another great leader, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, let's read the first five verses. Now, context, as you know, Moses grew up in Egypt, and then after he murdered somebody, he escapes for his life, goes to the wilderness, and he is then, for the next 40 years, watching someone else's sheep on the backside of the wilderness. As he's watching sheep, this takes place. Now, Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, which, you know, there's no one around, so he's talking to himself, by the way, right? Which that happens if you're watching sheep for decades in the wilderness. So Moses said, basically to himself, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. So he's watching sheep, and he sees off to the side a bush that's glowing, a bush that looks like it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And so he says to himself, I must turn aside now and see this. So he leaves the sheep, and he goes over to the bush. When the Lord saw, this is really important, verse 4, remember the nature of God is he's waiting for seekers. He's looking to see how we respond. When did he speak to Samuel? When Samuel responded, speak, Lord, I'm listening. When did the Lord respond to Moses? Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Of course, he gives him his purpose and mission for his life at this moment to set free millions of people. And all of that happens. All of that is triggered by, let me say it this way, something that's off to the side that he could have just kept on going. He could have just kept on moving with his sheep. Oh, that's interesting. Kept moving. But when he turned aside, he stepped into a brand new experience with God and the purpose for his life. Isn't that amazing? By him turning aside. That's why we need to be paying attention. What is the Lord wanting to say to us throughout the day? Because sometimes it's a clue, it's an invitation to turn aside from what we're doing to say, God, are you trying to say something right now? Is there something? You get someone who, let's say the face of someone appears on the inside. You start thinking about someone for no apparent reason. Pay attention. This could be God highlighting them for you to pray for them, for you to send them a text, something like that. That has happened to me over and over and over, and it happens to you too. Times that God is wanting to communicate, and he's wanting us to do a Moses, turn aside. It's okay to talk to yourself. And you can say that. I must turn aside and ask God this question right now. Sometimes it happens through natural things on the ground or a billboard. I've had all of those things happen to me. God will do these things. I remember after teaching and talking about this very thing in this very verse, this was, we were at our first building when we came up to Winston-Salem. There was a building a couple of miles from here off of Brownsboro Road, tiny little building. It's where we had our first church services. And I had just shared this, and I think it was within the next week, I was going out the front door, and there was a huge bush, like a literal holly bush, right next to the door, and something caught my eye. And I turned aside. I was like, what is that in the middle of that bush? And so I kind of dove in there. Got all the way to the bottom. It's a huge bush. And I pulled out, I was going to bring this in my office. I pulled out a newspaper still in the plastic. And it looked old. So I pulled it out. It was old. I tip it upside down. I take the plastic off and a lot of paper pieces fall out. But the headlines were still there. It was a 12-year-old Wall Street Journal that someone, probably delivering the paper, threw it, got in the bush. That person never got it, and it stayed there for 12 years. It had the date on it. And so as I get, I'm going, okay, Lord, I just was talking about this. Here is in a bush, of all places. Lord, what are you trying to say something? And as I read these headlines, it was like reading the news that day. And I just couldn't help but laugh. I would say, okay, God, I'm paying attention. This is really fun. What do you want me to do? As I read these 12-year-old headlines in this paper, Lord, is there something you want me to pray into or do this day, right now? I get to encounter you as you lead me into whatever this is. God will do those kind of things. I remember buying about this clock, digital clock on my wall for my office. You know, it's got the time, the date, the year, and the temperature. And I have it on my office wall. And there was a period of time where I was getting really frustrated with this clock. Digital clock with batteries, because I'd come in and it would be all the wrong time. Wrong time, wrong date, wrong year. Sometimes it'd go backwards. Sometimes it'd go forwards. And so I kept resetting it. Probably about the third time I thought, wait a minute. This is not natural. This is not natural. Okay, Lord, if this is you, would you help me understand this? Are you trying to tell me something? And it was like just instantly when I asked that question, just like with Samuel, so often we just ask the Lord that question, show him that we're turning aside. Just say, I'm seeking. Is this you, God? Instantly I heard, check out your journal. On the date, because the time was that day, back in time. And I had journaled something on that date, that year, several years ago. And it was, I don't remember what it was now, a prayer or something to the Lord. And it's like, it was an engagement of God wanting to show me something that I had prayed years earlier on that very date. God can do anything. And he wants us to be paying attention. Paying attention to what he might be drawing us into, this relationship with him. I went on a prayer trip with a leader several years ago, and we went up to a mountain to pray. And I went this way, he went that way, and I went and sat on this rock in the middle of a meadow. And I'm sitting there praying, not hearing anything from the Lord necessarily, but just praying my heart. And as we're about to go, I look down, and there's a hawk feather, big, tall hawk feather. And I thought, that's interesting. So I picked it up. I thought, man, I wonder, here I am praying. Maybe the Lord wants to say something. And so I thought, I wonder if hawk is in the Bible. So I opened my concordance. This is before digital everything. And there's one reference in my Bible to a hawk, Job 39. And it says, as the hawk flies south, something about the hawk flying south. And as I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, I feel like the Lord said, I want you to move south. I thought, wow, everyone that I know that's in this ministry is moving north. You want me to move south? And I thought, I don't know, Lord. So as I took a walk toward the vehicle, there's another hawk feather, a little bit shorter. And I pick it up, there's another one, a little bit shorter. There's another one, a little bit shorter. There's four hawk feathers descending in size every step toward the van. And then there was this little baby feather, tiny little feather. So I got my hand full of feathers. I get to the car, and I said to the leader who I was with, this is what the Lord showed me. I said, this is so weird, but I feel like he wants me to move south. And here are these hawk feathers, and I got this scripture, and this seems really odd, but anyway. So we get in the car, we drive down the hill. Three or four streets away as we're driving is a street. You can go there and see this. And the street name just caught my attention as we're driving by is South Go Forth Street. That's the name of the street. And so he then goes, Matt, what in the, this is God. So I get home, I put a for sale sign in my yard. House didn't sell. A few months later, on my birthday, decided to go house hunting. Anyway, so we just went south. We're driving around. We're in this neighborhood. There's this long gravel driveway going down, leading to this little house. And my wife said, oh, let's go see that one. Let's go see that one. And I thought, there was a for sale sign at the top. And I thought, I'm looking at it. And I said, it looks a little bit like a dollhouse to me. I'm not so sure. She said, no, please, let's go down there. We had Josiah, who was probably three at that time, in the back seat. And so I said, okay. So go down this gravel road. And as we get about 50 yards from the house, this massive hawk flies right in front of our windshield, like 3 feet away from our windshield, and lands in the tree next to the house. And Josiah, our three-year-old, points and says, that's our house. And the hair stands up on the back of my neck. And that hawk stayed there. We walked around the whole house. He just looked at us the whole time. Well, the house was under contract with someone else. We waited. We bought it. We lived there for 6 years. The Lord did this in a spectacular way. That hasn't happened like that since. He does it unique with every single person and every single experience. But he was leading me into an experience with him to help guide me to the place that he wanted us to be. And he just is the God who speaks. He's the God who's communicating. He's the God who's helping us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And boy, does he go to extravagant means to help us. To get to where we need to be, to say the things that we need to say, to help the people that we need to help. And again, this is about relationship with God. God's voice is rarely audible. It's often internal. But it may at times feel as loud as an audible voice, but most of the time it's very quiet. Most of the time it's an invitation to turn aside, to see something, to pay attention to something. Ask him, Lord, are you saying this? What's going on here? Why did this person just come to my mind? Why am I thinking about them right now? And then he will give you more. He's so good at doing that. And the Lord loves to minister. You know, one of the purposes for prophecy, you'll read this. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. In the Passion Translation, it says, but when someone prophesies, which basically the word prophecy means to speak forth. It's as simple as that. But you're speaking forth things that you're hearing from heaven. So that's what prophecy is. I'm hearing something from God, and I speak it forth. So it says, but when someone prophesies or speaks forth, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to bring them comfort. That's what prophecy is all about. This is an amazing gift God has given. Not to foretell the future most of the time. There are prophets in the office of the prophet who will do that oftentimes. But for us, everyone can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 says that as well. But it's to encourage, to build up, and to comfort people. And one of the reasons God wants to speak to us is so that we can do that for other people. Build them up, encourage them, and comfort them. And I've seen the Lord comfort in incredible ways. One of the stories, it's my story because I lived it and I saw this, was I went to Switzerland several years ago with a friend, and he invited me to go with him. He was ministering. I was going with them, and when we got there, we got to know their leadership team of this church. We were there 10 days, ministering for 10 days. And the leadership team there, some of them didn't speak English. They just spoke Swiss German. And so some of the people I didn't get to talk to, really, because we couldn't communicate much. But I noticed this one person on their leadership team just the first moment I saw her. She reminded me, this is, again, paying attention to how God speaks. She reminded me of someone else. She reminded me of my mom's best friend. And so I said, Lord, what is it about my mom's best friend, which this is scriptural, by the way. In Kings, do you remember with Elijah and Elisha, when Elijah gets taken up to heaven and the mantle falls, and Elisha picks it up, goes across the river. He gets back toward where the prophets are. And when the prophets see Elisha, they say, first thing out of their mouth, the spirit of Elijah is on him. He looked like Elijah in some way to them. That's called discerning of spirits in a way. A way of discerning of spirits is when someone reminds you of someone else, that oftentimes, I'm going to say 99% of the time, is God trying to say something to you. Now, my guess is everyone in this room has done that. You see someone, they remind you of someone else. And oftentimes, to really show you this is the Lord, you might tell your spouse, doesn't that person look like so-and-so? And what's their answer? No. They don't look like them at all. I think you're seeing things. You're off on this. That's because the Lord didn't show that to them. When the Lord shows you someone, they remind you of someone else, simply ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say? Or what do you want me to pray? So that's what I did with this lady. I just kept asking the Lord, what is it about my mom's best friend that you want me to say related to this person? Well, I couldn't get anything clear. I kept thinking, she's got two kids, she's got a husband and two kids. I don't know. Day 10, we're leaving that day. It's the last chance that we decide to pray for their leadership team at this church. So I'm like, oh Lord, I know you're trying to say something to me and I'm just not getting it. Would you please help me? And when I said it again, however many times in, all of a sudden this realization hits me. Oh my goodness, she doesn't have two kids, she has three. But the oldest one, he's a boy, I never met him. He moved away before I got to meet him. He's gone. So I said, okay, Lord, yes, there's something you're saying there. So I said, got to her name is Hannah, and it gets translated. I said, Hannah, I believe the Lord showed me you have three children. The oldest one is a boy. He's gone now, but the Lord wants you to know that his heart is in the Lord's hands. That's what I said, because that's what I got. Now, honestly, in my natural mind, I was thinking he's moved away. He's moved out of the city. But she started to weep, and so did her husband. And the translator took me in the hall. And he grabbed me like this. He said, how did you know that? And I said, know what? And he said, this is Hannah and her husband. They have three children. And the oldest one is a boy. And he died 1 year ago swimming. He drowned off the coast of Africa. And they didn't know if he knew God or not. So they've been praying for a year, asking God, asking God, asking God, is he with you? Is he with you? Is he with you? And you just came from America, not speaking their language, and said, do you have three children, the oldest is a son, and his heart is in the Lord's hands. Amen. Now that is called comfort. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, ministering comfort to someone that I had no clue about. It's because it's the Lord. God is amazing. And he wants to talk to us so that we can pass along fresh bread and comfort to other people. In so many ways. One of my favorite things when I'd go home sometimes after school as a kid, when my mom would make homemade bread because it smelled, filled the whole house. Nothing like homemade bread. Well, a word from heaven is homemade bread to the soul. To bring life to someone, to bring encouragement, to bring confirmation. Happens over and over, and God loves to use us to do this. One of the primary ways that I began, when I started this journey of trying to understand the ways that God speaks. Well, God gave me a beautiful wife. And I learned right off the bat, I thought, honestly, falsely, I thought I was a good communicator and understood women to some degree. I was really wrong. Neither was I a good communicator, nor did I understand women. I remember early on, we had this experience. My wife is sitting watching TV. I'm sitting several seats away. And she says, I'm like, Matt, you know, there's a chair right here. I said, that's okay, thanks. You're laughing because you understand her language. I didn't. I thought, I'm perfectly comfortable. She was saying one thing, but she was meaning something entirely different, right? She's saying, there's a seat right here. It's a nice seat, yes. But what she means is, would you come closer to me? Correct? I was clueless. And here's what I've understood, and this may sound sacrilegious. Hang with me, please. God created man and woman, correct? They both of us, came from him. In the same image of God, we're both, not just man in the image of God, woman in the image of God. We both came from him. So all of the ways that God is in his communication and his love and all of the ways that he, all of the, these giftings that he has, he's gifted in every way, but he birthed humankind like himself in many ways, and I believe a large part of the communication part of God he gave to the woman and not to the man. And in fact, the way that God speaks through the scriptures and through what stories I've just told you, for me personally, is he speaks more like a woman does than a man does. Okay, that's where I get in trouble. But he really does. He puts things, he may say one thing, but he might be meaning something else. If we're paying attention, we get it. And you see that through the scriptures. How about just read the parables. Read the parables of Jesus. 40 different parables. Jesus is expressing, this is what God is like. He's God in human form. And what does he do? He tells stories that guys cannot figure out. He's alluding to one thing by saying this thing. Is that not true? Am I lying? No. This is how God communicates. He will say something to get us to, really, he's getting at the heart. Do you want to be near me? Do you want to hear what I have to say? Do you want to be close to me? Are you going to seek after me? And when we do, there is relationship that has grown and formed, and there's more revelation given, and there's communication that happens as we pursue. For husbands, you pursue your wife. There's more that's given from her heart as we pursue. It's the same with God. We pursue him, and he opens up so many things for us, to us. Okay. Hopefully you all are okay with all that. Let me close. It's just true. We'll talk more about that next week a little bit, of relationship with my wife and some of the other things I've learned about how God speaks. But I remember, sitting in a worship service, we were in our other building, and during the worship, I hear something. And this is another way that God speaks, is you'll hear something on the inside. I think everyone in here knows what I'm talking about. You just hear something that's not you creating something. And you learn to discern the difference between you coming up with something and where did that come from? And we're worshiping. And I hear, start that pizzeria. As I'm worshiping. Well, the Lord has not been talking to me about doing anything like that before. And I knew that he was talking to someone else. He wanted me to pass that along. One thing that we can miss sometimes in hearing from God is we can take everything so personally. You walk into a room and you get a headache. You didn't have a headache before. Do all this battle. The Lord might be showing you something that someone in the room that you just entered has, because he wants you to pray for them. But sometimes we can go sit so personal with everything. Anyway, when I heard start that pizzeria, I felt like, okay, I've been doing this long enough. This is not what you want me to do, Lord. I've got too much going on. So I got up, and you might have been in that service. And I said, there's someone here. Here's what the Lord says to you. Start that pizzeria. Silence. No one said anything. Is that you? Nobody. I look like a fool. So service was over. Monday morning, I get a phone call. 8 a.m. This guy. He says, Matt, I was a first-time visitor yesterday at your church. I was sitting in the back, and you said, start that pizzeria. He said, I looked at my wife and our jaws dropped open and said, what did he say? Start that. I thought he said, start that pizzeria. He said, the night before, my wife and I were at a place selling pizzeria equipment because we've been wanting to start a pizzeria. So we were looking at equipment to buy to actually start it. We weren't quite sure, should we do it now or should we not? And then you said that. And he said, we were too dumbstruck that you said that to respond. Now, the Lord will just do those things, but it was such an encouragement to them. And they might be here. If you're here, let me know. I don't know if you're still here or not. But that was the Lord communicating, encouraging, confirming, helping other people through us, hearing from God, passing that along sometimes, praying it sometimes, living it sometimes, walking it out. The Lord is just so good, and he wants all of us, every one of his children, to hear his voice. Why don't we just do this as we'll end today? Let's just maybe close our eyes. And let's say, if this is in your heart to pray, to agree with me, Lord, we just put ourselves in the place of Samuel for a moment. And we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, we throw away all of the boxes we've put you in before of how you should speak. And we ask that you would communicate to us and help us to hear. Open our ears, as Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, to hear as a disciple. Open our ears to hear as a disciple. Open our being to pay attention to what you are saying, to what you are doing. And Lord, thank you for the adventure of getting to know you, for the adventure and the journey of hearing your voice and walking in your ways and discovering what you're really like and who you really are and living as a son and a daughter of the Most High.